Let us begin our worship this evening by singing hymn number 307 to the tune St. George, St. Goderic, 556. And must it, Lord, be so? And must thy children bear such various kinds of woe, such soul-perplexing fear? Are these the blessings we expect? Is this the lot of God's elect? Boast not, ye sons of earth, nor look with scornful eyes. Above your highest mirth, our saddest hours we prize. For though our cup seems filled with gall, there's something secret sweetens all. Hymn number 307.
Let us, we do. read together from the most holy word of God, from the book of Genesis and chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing a good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand, and take also of the tree of life, and eat, and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden, to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. May the Lord be pleased to bless to us the reading of his most holy word, and grant all needed help now in prayer. O most kind, gracious, eternal, ever merciful Lord God. Oh, we are brought even into thy courts at this evening hour. Thou hast spared our unworthy lives so to do. Oh, and unto poor sinners, what a mercy indeed, the day of grace has not ended, and that door of mercy still stands open. Oh, may we be found as those with broken hearts and contrite spirits this night. That sense of our sin, our great need, but also seeing in thee that which is precious, that which is most needful. Seeing in thee, for there is no hope or help in anyone else. And it's certainly not in ourselves. But our hope is it not, and may it be with each one. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Oh, nothing in our hands. Oh, when we look at our own lives, with shame we confess it's sin. Sin is all that we can give. Sin is mixed with all we do. Even our very best is stained and dyed. Born in sin and shapen in iniquity, so we are. We carry about with us that body of sin and death. Oh, how we cry often like the apostle of old, for we mourn over what we feel. Oh, may we each be mourners in Zion, and mourn over what we feel and what we see we are. Mourn over how short we come, our failings. Oh, And some of those things, O Lord, those thoughts that arise, oh, we would not even mention them before our fellow men, but our sin. Sin. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And all that might know, even as the apostle, but I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. O Lord, do look down upon us, we plead this night in mercy, and thou seest us through and through. We may deceive our fellow men, but our hearts and all the thoughts and intents of the heart are known unto thee. Oh, make us each honest in thy sight. Oh, how solemn if we were rolling to sweep morsel under our tongue some sin. But oh, may we plead, ah, search me, and try me, Lord, this one that stands up in thy name. O Lord, search and try our hearts, and see if any wicked way in our heart. O Lord, O convince us of our sin, and O Lord, enable us to confess it. May we be brought, to fall down before thee, in that true confession, godly sorrow. And Lord, may we seek that grace to forsake those sins. And Lord, we now receive to walk humbly before thee all the days of our life. Leave us not to be a stumbling block to another, a rock of offence. Lord, how others may look upon our path and look upon our life, and perhaps there's something there that causes another one to stumble. Oh, how solemn indeed. But, oh Lord, keep us close to thee. Keep us tender in thy fear. And, oh Lord, we know in of ourselves we're continually fail. But, oh, is it not this? Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. Lord, do remember us each, and we plead, and as thou dost look upon the heart, those that are yet dead, Lord, such were some of us, those that are yet unconcerned, oh, do put forth thy mighty hand, we plead. Arrest them in the way, arrest them in their mad career. And those that have turned aside and left thy courts, go to them where they are, and may it please thee. That which they've heard and tried to, as it were, put out of their mind, tried to suppress, and done all they can to forget it. Oh Lord, may it please, it might be a word, that that sure and certain word of the Lord from years ago, perhaps, that will, it will stand and withstand the assaults upon it, for its eye will work. And who shall let it? None can stay his hand or say, what doest thou? That sure and certain word of thine is found in the abiding place, for thou hast put it there in the heart. And it begins that work, taking root downward, perhaps over many years. Or it might yet break forth into the light, it cannot be hid. And to come into thy court, smiting upon their breast, crying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. But Lord, any of that are dead, oh, bring them to that time they have to go into the closet and shut the door about them. An urgent case, a pressing case. Their sins are... and the guilt lays heavy upon the spirit. Lord, do then quicken the dead. Oh, breathe upon the dry bones, Lord, we plead. may they be yet found amongst those whom thou hast appointed, yes, perhaps in years to come, as those pillars in Zion, those are humble walkers and followers of thee. But Lord, remember also those that wait. Thou hast quickened them. Thou knowest where they are. And they're like Ruth of old. Yes, so many persuasions are there not. The old adversary attempts them to turn back. There's no hope for them. But all such as that wrought in their heart, they're like Ruth of old. She clave unto her mother-in-law. Oh, that was effectual, was it not, that was begun in her. Entreat me not to leave thee. Lord, they wait daily at thy gates, at the post thy doors. They long for thee to appear, to speak. They long for thee to bring them into that liberty. And yet they still feel bound in those grave clothes of sin and death. Ah, yes, like even as Lazarus, there was a measure of there was life to be seen, for he came forth from the tomb, but he was still bound from his head to his feet. Now, no, so is it still bound. They long to be united to their heavenly Boaz. Oh, may it please you, hasten the time. Oh, that thou wouldest give that command, loose him, loose her, and let them go. Oh, yes, they feel their need. They feel their utter helplessness, and like that one at Bethesda's pool, no man to put me in. But oh, as he waited, ah, that time appointed came, oh, thou didst draw near. And so, Lord, we plead, draw near unto those that wait. They wait daily at thy gates, they wait at Bethesda's pool. Ah, they long to hear thy voice of peace and pardon. Oh, Lord, we plead then. Encourage them to wait on, but oh, Lord, we plead. Ah, do yet bring them into that time when they shall yet praise thee. When thou dost give and put the new song in the mouth. And is it not that song of praise? So, Lord, we plead for such. Remember those that have been many years in the way. Ah, and it truly is a waste, howling wilderness. That many days and years have passed since that time when they were brought into the sweet liberty of the gospel. But now it's days of darkness and distress are their portion here below. How often it is, so is it not? Walking much by night. Many fears and foes along the way. And oh, how they long for those fresh tokens for good. They long once again for that, for thee to manifest thyself to them. Oh, through the lattice of the gospel. They long to feel that dew upon their branch. They long for those rains in their season. But now, O Lord, the wilderness is a waste, howling wilderness. The times are parched, feel withered up, ready to die. But oh, may they yet prove the God of all grace. The God of all grace, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, that one, the voice of thy cry will answer thee. Grant those restorations and renewings and refreshings. Lord, we know it's because of our old nature that, oh, we find, do we not, some of us, it is this, we've left our first love. We can look back to that time when it was truly we were dandled upon the knees. Dandled upon the knees, that time of love, but now, oh, such is our old nature. Oh, we've become lukewarm, even cold. And, oh Lord, thou hast brought, perhaps in that time of need, and then the cry unto thee, what a mercy. Ah, then they cried unto the Lord in their troubles, in their trials, in their distresses. Oh, may it please thee grant those answers. They may yet even prove whoso is wise and will observe these things. Even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Remember those that, Lord, we plead, that they walk now in those tried paths and those paths of affliction. And some have walked in affliction for a long time, many years. But our all must come and last an end, as shall please our heavenly friend. Oh, sanctify the path and sweeten the pain. Bless all the means used for their good, for their healing, for their comfort. Oh Lord, make their bed for them. May they prove from time to time the promise to be true, for he hath said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And do remember then each one in their affliction. We thank thee for that measure of restoration and bringing through that operation to our dear pastor in the past week. And, O Lord, thou knowest his need now. Lord, do strengthen him and grant further healing mercies. He might yet once again be restored to his wonted place and to go about upon the walls of Zion. But, O Lord, we would thank thee. Ah, how kind and gracious thou hast been. But one and another, through those things in the past little while, in the past year. Oh, and even oneself, we know in those seasons. Ah, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you, but rejoice. And oh, how we've been brought to rejoice. Brought to rejoice even in affliction. Ah, only thou canst do it. But oh Lord, may each one know of it. That those times of rejoicing, they're often in the times of trouble, of trial, of distress and perplexity and affliction. Lord, ah, is it not there we see the brightness of that bow, when the dark clouds gather and we're walking in darksome paths? Oh, is it not there? And we've proved it, have we not, some of us? May each one prove it, that that bow shines the brightest, and it speaks of that eternal covenant, ordered in all things and sure. That covenant of grace, that covenant of love, that covenant of mercy, that covenant that cannot change. For is it not bound up in this? I have loved thee with an everlasting love, that everlasting love, that love which has drawn, that love which has led even to this day, that love will never forsake. Oh, that love. And there will be a manifestation of it. And oh, as in all, then we prove the loving kindness of the Lord. So, Lord, we plead for those in affliction and those things which are still before one another. Lord, do remember them in it and make that way before them, go before them. May they see they're walking in the footsteps of the flock. And also in the footsteps of the shepherd. The shepherd goes before his sheep and leads them forth for that right way, that they might go unto that city of habitation whose builder and maker is God. So, Lord, we plead for any that are in a peculiar, singular circumstance, unknown to anyone else. Oh, perhaps they walk in such a lonely path and they feel no one else knows. No one else understands, but all there is one. Is it not that brother born for adversity, that one that loveth at all times? A brother born for adversity. Oh, is it not that one? The friend of sinners, that one that's acquainted with grief, a man of sorrows, all that one, to whom they can go and cast their cares and prove that he careth for them. Ah, Lord, may it please them, that one that walks in a lonely path. Oh, may they prove him this. For he hath said, yes, lo, I'm with you always, always, even unto the end of the world. So, Lord, we plead, remember each and every one. And remember the dear young friends that are gathered with us this night, from the young ones in arms to those growing up. Lord, do remember them in their pathway also. Lord, encourage them, we plead, to cast their cares upon thee and prove that, yes, there is help laid upon one that is mighty. And he does hear the cries of young, the children. Oh, does not thy word declare what thou didst say? Suffer, little children, to come unto me, and forbid them not. Lord, keep the adversary at bay, and enable them so to venture unto the footstool of mercy, the throne of grace, to lay their burdens at thy feet. Lord, we can look back some of us to our childhood, a certain period in our childhood, and there were those times of trouble, times of trial, times when we wondered what things meant. We wondered how the scene would end. And, Lord, is it not so? Often it is. May they be granted that encouragement. Encourage them so, Lord, we plead, to pour out their hearts before thee. To pour out their hearts before thee. In that simplicity, child simplicity. Lord, what a mercy. Thou didst say, we've repeated again, for it's a precious truth, suffer, little children, to come unto me, and forbid them not. Lord, remember us each, and we plead. Remember one as he labours also in thy name this night. Lord, grant him that help and that strength sufficient. And, O Lord, we thank thee for that help given to our dear pastor this morning. Oh, Lord, may it please thee, bless that which has been attended to. And may there be nothing this evening to mar, to spoil that which has been attended to in the earlier part of the day. But, O Lord, we would now seek for thy most gracious help. Lord, to whom can we go? We're but empty earthen vessels, and we feel so full of flaws, imperfections and cracks. How leaky we are. We're dependent upon that oil of thy grace. Lord, may it please thee, pour in that we may pour out. And all there might be this night, a portion for seven and a portion for eight. Lord, we have to acknowledge we're unworthy of the least of thy mercies. Truly we are unworthy of the least of thy mercies. But all we venture pleading for Jesus' sake. We venture to plead for Jesus' sake. And so in thou is to plead. Lord, there is no other plea but that finished work of Christ, that law which thou hast satisfied, in every jot and tittle, and thy precious blood, all that sin atoning blood, and thy name which is above every name. And so, Lord, we plead, break the bread of life unto us, bless us each together, and grant, we plead, there might be a crumb that might fall from the Master's table, there might be a sip from the well of salvation. Lord, if it could please thee, one led into the banqueting house, where thy banner over them is love. Lord, help us now. We thank thee for all thy mercies and favours towards us, but we cannot live by bread alone. Oh, we thank thee then for sustaining us in life and all that thou hast provided for us, but we cannot live by bread alone. But it is by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God doth man live. Oh, break that bread of life unto us. Satisfy us with thy goodness, we plead, and send none empty away. Pardon and forgive then our sins, our failings, our often shortcomings. Wash us each in thy precious blood. We plead for Christ's sake. Amen.
God willing, the pastor is engaged to preach here on Tuesday evening and also next Lord's Day. And next Lord's Day is the day appointed to take our monthly collection. Friends, please note that the scripture teaching arranged for this Friday, the 19th, has been deferred for 1 week till, God willing, the 26th of January. Let us now sing hymn number 295, the tune Allstone 933. I ask thee, Lord, that I might grow in faith and love and every grace, might more of his salvation know, and seek more earnestly his face. 'Twas he who taught me thus to pray, and he, I trust, has answered prayer. But it has been in such a way as almost drove me to despair. These inward trials I employ, from self and pride to set thee free, and break thy schemes of earthly joy, thou mayest seek thy all in me. Hymn number 295.
Favored
Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, we turn to the chapter we read, Genesis chapter 3, and we'll read verses 18 and 19. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Genesis chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. thorns also, and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. Thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Ah, sin, what hath sin wrought? Oh, as I left tented and even this afternoon, that hymn of hearts came to my mind. And the second verse of hymn 154. O thou hideous monster sin, what a curse hast thou brought in. All creation groans through thee, pregnant cause of misery. Thou hast ruined wretched man ever since the world began. Thou hast God afflicted too, nothing less than that would do. Oh, how solemn then. How solemn. Thorns also and thistles. Felt it so in the past week. Felt it, yes, in my own pathway of life, and not one another proving of it, that it is so here below. It's a waste howling wilderness. It is a place, before the fall of man. Was it not that place where Adam and he communed with his God in the cool of the day? But there that separation came. And because man sinned, Adam fell. We from the loins of Adam, we're all bound up in that same fall, each born in sin and shape in iniquity. And who can know it? Oh, Adam, they were both, Adam and Eve, were they not both brought to know it? Oh, when they partook of that tree, the fruit of that tree, when they were tempted by Satan. They partook of that tree which Almighty God commanded. God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Ah, that temptation. And as Adam also fell, yes, we are from the loins of Adam, we've also fallen. We're each guilty of that transgression of the law. Guilty indeed. But oh, what we read in that same chapter, and it seemed to stand out from the page again this day to this poor sinner, and what a mercy. They had need of a clothing, for they were seen, were they not, and it was made known to them, they felt it also. They were naked. And naked, all that was in them and without them stood out before them, did not, and they knew it was in the eyes of God. And oh, if the Spirit has shone into your heart and mine, oh, when we're come like that in that naked way, when the Spirit reveals all, oh, how we need a covering. We need a covering. We need a robe of righteousness. But ah, what a mercy we read concerning Adam and his wife. The Lord God made coats of skins and clothed them. Ah, does it not speak of sacrifice? That sacrifice made and the shedding of blood, was often in the old dispensation. There were many sacrifices made. But oh, was it not made known to Adam and Eve at this time, the Lord God? The Lord God, and so it must be for you and for me, poor sinner. The Lord God to make that provision. For, yes, you may think, well, I can patch up my own inglorious righteousness. You may not think it's inglorious, but in the eyes of God, it would be a filthy rag. You may think, well, yes, I can make an improvement here, make an improvement there. Or even as such, we can point the finger at another and not see the mote in our own eye. But all when brought under the law, we come as Adam. We come as Adam and Eve, and we're seen exactly as we are. They tried to patch up, did they not? They tried to make their covering for themselves. They tried to make a covering for themselves. As a one trying to make a covering for themselves. How solemn. But that is how we were we not, when we were first brought under the law, we tried to make a covering for ourselves. We said we tried to patch up our own inglorious righteousness, but we saw it not then as an inglorious robe. Went the long way with it. And as Adam and Eve, they sewed together those fig leaves to make themselves aprons. But ah, they heard the voice of the Lord God. They hid themselves. But and perhaps there's a voice from heaven's high court to a poor sinner. You've heard the voice of the Lord God, and you begin to tremble because you know, yes, why did they hide themselves? That coat, those aprons, how imperfect it was. How imperfect was that covering? And so as they trembled when they heard the voice of Almighty God, they went and hid themselves. The Lord called out for them. Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked. Or has there been that voice heard, that voice of Almighty God, and now that fig leaf covering, you realize that it is, that Almighty God sees you exactly as you are. It's as if you've got nothing on. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And as we won't read it all again, but you know that as it goes on. And that which was Almighty God pronounced upon them. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed And her seed, and that's what he said unto the servant. The Lord God said unto the servant, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field upon thy belly. Shalt thou go and dust, shalt thou eat all the days of thy life, and I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Nor unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and in thy sorrow, in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And is it not so? Ah, yes, it is so. The word of God declares it, and is it not approving of it? But unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Yes, it was a glorious provision there, was it not? Not like the serpent, the dust of the earth. Not like the serpent. Dust thou shalt eat all the days of thy life. But unto Adam, there was still that provision. Yes, but now there was going to be a labouring for it. Before the fall of Adam, was it not that place of quiet and that comfort and no sorrows known? No sorrows known. But all now, sorrow shalt thou win, sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. And thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. Thorns also and thistles. But that verse then 21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make them coats of skins and clothe them. It speaks of Christ. Speaks of Christ there. Yes, man fell. Almighty God knew that man would fall. This was not, as it were, an afterthought. But it was that which was, is it not that which was wrought out in eternity past? All those prophets threw down to the gospel days, they spake of that one which was to come. The eternal Son, God the Son, the God-man. That one that will work out that righteousness for his people, and they shall be clothed upon with it. That robe, that spotless, seamless robe. Oh, does it not humble a poor sinner when we think upon it? Yes, I felt, as I said in the week, the past week, and truly it is thorns also and thistles, and the world is so, is it not now? But there's hope in our end, is there not? There's hope in the end of a poor sinner, one whom he hath loved from all eternity. It's in that covenant of grace. And it's wrought out by that one. Verily God, verily man. That one that so condescended. And oh, when we think upon it. Yes, for poor sinners, thorns also and thistles, shall it bring forth to thee. Oh, when we think of Christ and that condescension. That plan of salvation, to save from the wrath to come. One, foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, But the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. It humbles, does it not, to think of it? The Lord God made them coats of skins and clothed them. No, when we are brought, when we find thorns also and thistles, when we're brought to think and meditate upon that plan of salvation, there's this one, the Lord of life and glory, who so stooped down to this lower world. Yes, that hymn, I know I've quoted it before, but it's a precious hymn to this poor sinner. And what a mercy indeed it is. That hymn of Anne Steele's 95, and did the holy and the just, the sovereign of the skies, stoop down to wretchedness and dust, that guilty worms might rise. Yes, our just deserts are thorns also and thistles, and in the sweat of our face shalt thou eat bread. Thou shalt return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. That one we read also in the Word, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Yes, in sorrow we shall have to eat of that bread. Is it not, when we labour for the meat which perisheth, and we, yes, that pathway here below and all that is attendant to it, there is labour and sorrow, is there not? But all that one, and blessed be his holy name. It was just a sweet thought to me for a while. I'm not sure whether I can bring it back to mind. May the Spirit bring it back to my mind. But as I journeyed home this afternoon, that there was this one, Almighty God, made man, had not where to lay his head, that man of sorrows and truly acquainted with grief. That one, yes, one time we hid our faces from him. We despised and rejected him. But oh, what a mercy when, yes, in those thorns also and thistles, and that path that we're brought to walk in, when we see a precious Christ revealed, when we prove this one that is acquainted with all our ways, yes, not because of any sin, for he knew no sin. He knew no sin, but oh, just for a moment I thought upon that path from his very birth, but all down to that day when he was hung upon that accursed tree. Hung upon that accursed tree. He knows the way that you and I take. Was not his way much rougher and darker than ours? Was not his way much rougher and darker than ours? Truly it was. He's able to succour them that are tempted. Yes, in that stooping down, walked in that lowly path. Oh, walked in that lowly path. Didn't come with pomp and ceremony, but so walked that lowly path. And what a mercy indeed. Chapter 53, it came to my mind again this day, but oh, what a blessed chapter that is. And it was opened up to the understanding of the Ethiopian eunuch. Man of sorrows. And why it was so. that which was wrought out by him, this man of sorrows. That one that was wounded, poor sinner, what a mercy indeed. Yes, thorns also and thistles. It must be so. Through much tribulation, we shall enter the kingdom. A man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. But oh, what a mercy, this one, despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. But poor trembling sinner, finding it thorns also and thistles, finding it a path of trials and tribulations, distresses and perplexities. Oh, those things that arise in a moment, afflictions and troubles are. Surely he hath borne our griefs. Ah, borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he, yes, we deserve the thorns and thistles. We deserve that pathway appointed because of our sins, because of the sin of our foot, but our own sins also. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Ah, that robe of his righteousness, that glorious robe, that spotless robe. Nor as it came to my mind in the earlier part of the day, oh, that one, yes, we read in that same chapter 53 of Isaiah, all we like sheep, all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Ah, and how soon we murmur, I can't speak for anyone else. But how soon, yes, we murmur and repine when we're brought into trials and afflictions and difficulties. We think, how hard is our lot? And the hymn, and must it, Lord, be so? And must thy children bear such various kinds of woe, such soul-perplexing care and fear? Is this the lot of God's elect? Ah, I haven't quoted that quite right, but oh, you know the lines. But he was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. That one that was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked. Made his grave with the wicked. And with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Ah, yet it pleased. Ah, blessed be his holy name, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow. Oh, when thorns also and thistles, oh, we're brought into sweet meditation and brought into, a measure of sympathy with Christ and his sufferings. It melts the heart, does it not? It melts the heart. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. Sword of divine justice. When that call came, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow. That sword of divine justice was thrust into the eternal sun. Ah, that spotless lamb. That one then that wrought out that perfect righteousness. Ah, yes. Perfect righteousness in the sinner's room, place, and stead. He shall see, make an offering for sin. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And oh, it's this verse, is it not, poor sinner? That's that covering we need. That's that covering I need as a poor sinner. Ah, your righteousness would be like those fig leaves sewn together. But oh, this righteousness of Christ. What we read in that 11th verse in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. He shall see the travail of his soul. And shall be satisfied. Blessed be his holy name. Yes, we shall each, when we're done with this vale of tears, when our journey is ended and that allotted path and all that it contains, ah, what a mercy there is that wrought out for a poor sinner. Yes, a pathway here below, and it's appointed, the Lord hath appointed it. It's to bring us and lead us into that right way. It's to lead us and bring us to lean harder upon him, but it's bring us into that place where we see Christ, where Christ is revealed in these things. Christ is made known. It's that hope for glory, and is it not then, a little hope in exercise? A little hope that, when that day comes, when we shall each have to appear before the judge of all the earth, that robe which Christ hath wrought, that robe, that seamless, spotless robe, what a mercy then, that seamless, spotless robe. Oh, when we have to appear before the judge of all the earth, this seamless, spotless robe, what a mercy then, 'tis he. Not the poor sinner, not that one deserving endless hell, 'tis he instead of me is seen, when I approach to God. Covering all your wounds, all what sin hath made. All your wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, all those imperfections and blemishes, 'tis he instead of me is seen when I approach the God. He shall see the travail of his soul. And be satisfied. Think of that poor sinner. Ah, yes, at the moment, thorns also and thistles, and the sweat of thy face, often the bread of sorrows, but there is this one that hath accomplished all. He shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. And all my mind went to that portion as we read. I turn to it again. But all we read in the first epistle, General Peter. Oh, what do we read there? Ah, yes, in our afflictions and trials. Blessed be the Lord, the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Ah, that wonder accomplished all. The grave could not hold him. Ascended on high, rose again, ascended on high, now sitteth on the right hand of the Father, waits to be gracious. And at the voice of your cry and mine, in our afflictions, in our trials, in our difficult circumstances, those times when the path, yes, is so dark and dismal to our natural feelings. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept. Oh, blessed be his holy name. Kept by the power of God, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season. Yes, perhaps it is, though now for a season. If need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, manifold trials, manifold afflictions, manifold difficulties. But are not these things appointed for the trial of your faith and mine? Yes, our thorns also and thistles to our natural feelings. Their thorns also and thistles. We don't want, our natural man doesn't want them. But oh, to the never-dying soul. Ah, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness, through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith being much more precious, the preciousness of the gospel, yes, man fell. We've fallen. Fallen indeed. We're guilty. We're hell-deserving sinners. We're the most black. Ah, and we can come even as the apostle, sinners of whom I am chief. But oh, that covenant of grace, that covenant of mercy, that which was wrought out by Christ. That's your hope and mine. And it's in these afflictions then, that the trial of your faith, my faith, being much more precious than of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love. Ah, Christ made precious in afflictions and trials, and those places where it's thorns and thistles and sorrows, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. But also one word, the time is just about gone, but one word in Corinthians. It also came to my mind. Ah, yes, thorns also and thistles. What a mercy. Yes, in that fourth chapter of the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians. That which is in Christ. That which he hath wrought. Ah, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence and the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side. Those places are thorns also and thistles. It is trouble and sorrow, is it not? We are troubled on every side. Yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Proving these things, yes, it seems contrary to our natural thoughts. The life of the soul. The life of the soul. It is through afflictions and trials and difficulties. It's a life of the soul. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal body. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken, we also believe and therefore speak. And going on into these precious verses at the end, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up by Jesus, also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. And these verses here. For which cause we faint not. But though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For our light affliction. Our thorns also and thistles. Sorrows. Yes. It's a woman in childbirth. They prove it there, do they not? Our light affliction. There's a proving of this. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more an exceeding weight of glory. Oh, may it be so. Amen.
Let us now sing hymn number 758 to the tune Olivet 681. Sons of God in tribulation, let your eyes the Saviour view. He's the rock of our salvation. He was tried and tempted to, all to succour every tempted, burdened soul. If today he deigns to bless us with a sense of pardoned sin, perhaps tomorrow he'll distress us, make us feel the plague within, all to make us sick of self and fond of him. Hymn number 758.
Oh, to
Us each sick of self, sinful, wretched, ruined self, and are fond of thee, and all that might each yet know, are a precious Christ, and all that might have that sweet hope, that we are clothed upon with that robe of thy righteousness, are to cover our nakedness, all that is revealed by the Spirit when it shines into our heart. The wretchedness of the old man, how we need it covered. to be seen in that day in Christ. Lord, leave us not then to ourselves, take us each in hand, and lead us forth with our right way. To be pleased to bless that which is of thee, seated upon the heart, and that which thou hast seen which is wrong in thy sight, and heard that which has been wrong in thy sight, cover it with the mantle of thy forgiving love. And now, O Lord, we plead, take us each to our respective homes in peace and safety. And, O Lord, may there be something which remains, we may yet beat out, that may yet redound to thine honour and thy glory, that thy name shall have all the praise. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.